I want you to fire me.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
What's up, everybody, and welcome to Elite POV, where it's podcast time, and you know what that means. I'm one of your hosts, Phil Cataldo. You can call me Philium. And as we know, we're doing this show a little bit early this week because AEW is going to air Rampage a little earlier this week due to NBA All-Star Weekend. It is airing at 7 p.m. Eastern. So we are on a time crunch, so I want to make sure we get to everybody's thoughts in the show. So we're just going to introduce everybody at once. We have The Draw, Jackie Rodriguez. We have Kimmy, and we have Kyle.
Hey!
What is up, everybody?
Same old, but we're doing the show early. Getting naked early now. We get naked nice and early.
My God, Kyle. Unbelievable.
What a way to start a Friday night.
No, late night early. No, late night nakedness, Jackie.
Early. We'll get all the promo out of the way early. If it's your first time listening, welcome. We do this show usually every Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern on YouTube.com/ElitePOV and Twitch.tv/ElitePOV. If you guys like what you hear and you want to support us, there are two ways, Patreon.com/ElitePOV and ShopElitePOV.com to get all of our great merchandise. Now, we have a bit of news going into this week, which actually pertains to a great show that we have started up that's hosted by Kimmy called Honor POV. Kyle, would you let them know about the Ring of Honor news?
Yes. So, yeah, Kimmy hosting the Honor POV side of things. And speaking of Ring of Honor, it was announced. It's official. Well, now, they announced that the tapings are going to be filmed, was it, at the end of the month, and Universal Studios, so the same stage that they are doing Dark and that they do the Dark tapings at. You know, you're welcome, because we mentioned that in the show many times before, and basically, I'm gonna take credit for that. but they're gonna be filming Dark at the same time. But there's like four. If you go look at, there's four times during the day they flip flop from Ring of Honor to Dark in between, which is pretty cool. But they're gonna do a bunch of tapings, and then officially, it's also announced that on Thursday nights on Honor Club, the streaming platform, Ring of Honor is going to be live every Thursday starting, was it, Kimmy, in March, I believe? Yes.
2nd, we are kicking off things hot, which means that AEW programming is officially every day of the week from Monday to Friday. How did we get here?
Wow.
I have no idea, but I will say for all my Honor POV fans, we've been talking to some special guests we might have on the show, so stay tuned for Kimmy surprises.
Well, there you go. And then Ring of Honor, sure to be one hell of a show. I know that I've seen a lot of people that are keeping up with a lot of independent names or people that have been on Dark doing things on social media, almost like getting ready for the show. So there's probably going to be some notable names that will appear. Probably, I'm going to assume that he's going to jam-pack that first taping, and it'll be some names that appear that no one knew that they were Ring of Honor. So I can't wait for that. I can't wait to see the storylines that they're going to start with that as well. It's exciting stuff. Technically it's five nights, even though Tony Khan has said that Ring of Honor is going to be its own separate entity, even though he owns it. So it's, we're just not going to get crossover. You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to cross over into, like, something that happens on Ring of Honor is not going to cross into Rampage the next day. So, it'll be five nights of something owned by Tony Khan in a way then. But it's exciting stuff for anyone that was waiting and patiently waiting for Ring of Honor. I'm excited for it. I'm also hearing some things from some other people that I've talked to that on the streaming platform, Ring of Honor Club is for now, but they are currently looking at getting that on TV in the future. So that'll be good, at least if they can get on some sort of platform on Turner and get that on TV. But I'm excited.
And they are also actively looking for wrestlers to sign a Ring of Honor full-time.
Am I the only one who has an issue with this? Not necessarily Ring of Honor, but the 5 days of programming. They need to get rid of something. Darker Elevation, they need to condense that into one show. It's too much.
But again,
you have an oversaturated roster, this is the issues you're going to have.
And again,
Ring of Honor is great, and I want it to succeed, and it's amazing, and all that great stuff. But as wrestling fans, one of the biggest reasons why AEW in the beginning appealed to people like me is because WWE oversaturated the market. It's too much, and it And I get there's no crossover between Ring of Honor and Dynamite in a perfect world, but as AEW fans, you're going to want to see the product that Ring of Honor is due to the fact that Tony Khan is the one booking it. So if you like the booking, it's just another show you have to watch. It's too much. And they don't even have to do that much. Make Elevation and Dark one show.
But then my question to you is, there's already wrestling every day of the week already.
Yeah.
So do you also have a problem with that? Because yes, now every absolutely. Market.
Absolutely. It's too much. It's too much. If you're a WWE fan, it's way too much. Because if you watch the NXTs, the NXT Level Up, if you watch all these shows and you're watching the specials and you're doing this and the Saturday pay-per-views and everything they have on the network, it's cool when if you can come in and out as you please. But if you're trying to watch all these shows live, it's a lot. And that's what affected WWE before AEW was started. So like you're, and I get the way AEW, the business model still doesn't change because you only need them to be at TV at most 3 days a week. And that's a pay-per-view weekend with everything live because most of this is going to be taped. But I don't know. It's just way too much, in my opinion.
Well, the good thing is no one's going to make you watch it. So if you miss a couple of weeks, you can catch up and binge a couple of episodes like if you were to watch a Netflix show.
Yeah, I guess it's like having, you know, it's there if you want to watch it and if you want to consume all of it. For the avid, like, you know, fan who desires to, you know, to watch wrestling every day. And for the more casual fan who wants to tune in, you know, a couple days a week. Like for me, I watch Dynamite and I'll tune into Rampage. I don't know that I'm going to be watching wrestling 5 days a week. But yeah, like, it's Dark there Elevation, on a weekend if I want
to
watch it.
Dark and Elevation, I don't watch from start to finish. I'll go and look at the card and say, okay, I'll watch that match. And then just kind of skim through. Like I for like an hour and a half episode of Dark Elevation, I'll watch like 10, 15 minutes of it.
But don't you think that Ring of Honor is going to kind of function, whether Tony wants it to or not, it's going to eventually end up functioning like NXT did, where it's like, that's where you test people out. So then what's the point of it then?
It's its own separate brand. The issue is with AEW, and I've talked about this, is that AEW has too many people on the roster already, which is why instead of cutting people like WWE does, Ring of Honor is going to have separate contracts from people.
Yeah, but then you have like your Ring of Honor champion is Claudio. So if Claudio in the next year...
He's
going to
drop the title.
But let's just say, using him as an example, let's say you have Ethan Page goes there, right? He's not being used on AEW a lot. Let's say he becomes a massive television star in Ring of Honor. You're going to switch him over back to AEW because that's your bread and butter. So like eventually I think it's going to function like NXT.
You think so? Let's just hope that they don't do that. Let's just hope that when now that things are going to get going, that, you know, let's hope that Tony Khan is saying to these people signing with Ring of Honor, by the way, this doesn't mean that I'm going to flip flop you to the other show. If you sign with this company, you're with this company only. There's no if you get over or if this happens, I'm flipping you to the other show. You're signing here. I'm trying to make Ring of Honor its own thing and its own entity. So it's just going to be – that will be a way.
Then Dark and Elevation will still function the way that it does, and then Ring of Honor will be like its own separate thing.
Which, I mean, that's what they've been doing anyways. They've been testing people out on Dark and Dark Elevation, and – we've seen some people graduate.
I'm not saying get rid of both of them. I'm just saying condense it into one show.
It should be like one show.
Elevation, especially now that they're taping at the spot in Orlando, make that just Ring of Honor. No dark tapings. You do all that stuff in front of the crowd before the Dynamites. You make Elevation and Dark one thing. And then let's say if you're using Dark, the tapings are, you know, like practice, essentially. You're running house shows now, so that's getting people practice. And you could do Dark tapings before Ring of Honor, right? So, like, you're still getting that, but you're condensing it a little bit and giving people a little bit of a break.
There is no, and you're right, because there's no difference between Dark and Dark Elevation. There really isn't.
No.
It's the
same. Only difference is it's where it's taped.
Yeah, it's the same exact concept, though. So that, I agree, should be combined. Because if you have two of the same exact what's making it Elevation? Like, what's different from AW Dark that I'm watching? It's the same format, the same kind of matches. It used to be different. It used to be a little bit different. It used to be where, like, it was either one of AW Dark or Dark Elevation used to be where, like, it would be the indie guys coming in, and it was just the bigger names just getting over every single match.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the other one that was, there was actually like little storylines, like the Ethan Page and Matt Hardy storyline. That's only on specifically Dark and not Elevation. And right now, exactly, Ascendant. The only difference right now is the announced teams, and that's it.
But I guess we'll see, right? We'll see. Obviously, AEW is really good at adjusting on the fly if something's not working, or implementing stuff if, you know, people bring good ideas to the table, especially like you've seen it all last year with like the motion graphics and how they shoot and how they do stuff. We've seen stuff with like
or listen to our show. People get
hurt. Yeah, exactly. Or listen to us. So, Kyle, you said there's other news that's going on out there right now?
The video game. We have news about the video game. We don't have a release date. I know everyone's, I know the ongoing meme and the ongoing joke is like the AEW video game coming out in like 2030 or something like that. We have an idea of where it's going to be. Quarter two is where they're saying it's going to be released for this year. So that's around AEW Double or Nothing time. So I imagine if they're going to take something that WWE does fantastically with advertisement, mm-hmm. is you do Double or Nothing presented by AEW Fight Forever, and mm-hmm. you heavily push and advertise the video game to get sales, because that's going to be a few months into 2K23, and you're going to want to try to get a bunch of those wrestling game nerds to want to play Fight Forever, even though they're going to want to as well. But you kind of want to gain some more audience for that video game. And they were on it was cool today. They had an IGN showcase. Mm-hmm. And they showcased a little bit of Bryan Danielson against Hangman Page. And I love they did like a little transition video where like it went from real life to the video game, and you can do the similar things. So that's my guess and assumption is they're going to, I would at least, release it with the pay-per-view. And
my one thing, and I hope that if they do listen to this show, they listen to this more than anything. As someone who listens to a lot of podcasts that talk about video games and has for the last couple of years, launch is the most important thing.
Yeah.
If you come out with a buggy game at launch, I don't care what company it is, you're dead in the water. Was it 2K20?
Oh,
was
bad.
Horrific at launch. Yeah. It didn't matter what they did, the fixes they made, players didn't come back. So with the fact that 2K23 is coming out in a couple of weeks, right, because it's in March,
yeah.
And, you know, that's going to have its pluses and negatives, and they'll get through it. But it's an established product, just like Madden, just like 2K. It doesn't matter. People who are going to buy them are going to buy them. Like, I buy WWE 2K every year. Even I bought 20, right? It doesn't matter to me. I'm in. So AEW doesn't have that audience yet. So if it is second quarter, I hope that it's fundamentally ready for second quarter. Because even if they have to push it back to third, fourth quarter, fine. But just please don't have it be buggy.
Also, don't have the expectation.
And then you have to start rolling out. You have to start rolling out. We know that there was an issue with who's going to be available at launch. There needs to be DLC roadmaps so people know, like, oh, hey, I picked up this game. FTR is not in it at launch. Oh, in 2 months, they're a part of the DLC. 2K23 does a great job. Well, WWE does a great job at showcasing what's to come. So maybe you're a fan of a certain wrestler. They're not in it at launch. It's these important things, and I know like Kenny Omega is an avid gamer, so I'm sure he's thinking of these things. That's my only fear. I'm sure the game will be a lot of fun, right? It's No Mercy based on that game. That game was legendary.
Exactly. That's what people have the expectations of. You can't go in expecting this to be 2K and with this game. This game is going to be more arcade. The graphics are going to be more arcade. Original goal from day one with this game is to emulate and have a modern version, AEW version of WWF No Mercy, which was one of the most popular video games of all time.
Ever.
So,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Go in with that expectation, because there's a lot of people I know that are going to go in expecting 2K and shit all over it. And you know what? That's your fault. That's your own damn fault.
Yeah. And you got to nail it at launch.
Yeah.
Any bugs, any issues, hopefully it is. I mean, no game is perfect at launch, but hopefully.
That's what I'm assuming is taking so long too, right? Like this game is probably already supposed to be released by now, and it's been delayed so long. I hope that even during that time, trying to get the rating right and all that stuff, and they had to redid the cover takes like a day. That doesn't take months on end. But I hope it was during those months that or a year now that they've been fixing a lot of bugs, maybe. And you know, I imagine Kenny was sitting down and probably playing the game like hours on end and trying to find anything, because him being so passionate about video games and him being on the team to make this game, you know that he's going to want to make sure that this first video game of the company that he's part of is a hit at launch.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other news, Kyle?
They announced a bunch of dates coming up for AEW. They're going to a lot of places. They're going to Sunrise, Florida, I believe, coming up in April, where the Panthers play. Going back to a lot of few arenas like Baltimore, the UBS Arena. But most importantly, May 10th, they're going back to Detroit, to the Little Caesars Arena. And this is the same place last year. The last time they were at this arena was Blood and Guts.
Oh, interesting.
So,
especially the way the women's division is looking.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Who knows?
No.
Yeah, we'll see. But that's all we have for the news right now. Let's dive right into Dynamite from last night. I'm very interested to get everybody's thoughts because as far as myself, I did not enjoy the show. I can't speak to the women's match because I fell asleep during their entrances because I was so bored with the show. Some high-level thoughts before I get to everybody individually, at least for me on my end. I thought in a bubble, the matches would have been okay, but there's a quality level that Dynamite runs at. And it almost seems like if you would have told me half the roster had COVID, I'd believe you. If you would have told me Tony wasn't there this week, I'd believe you. I just thought the placement was weird. The match types were weird. I understand, you know, Jeff Jarrett's dad dies. So you want to kind of showcase Jarrett, put him in a singles match, like how you used to do with like, oh, we're going to showcase somebody, put him in a ring with Frankie Kazarian. Let's have a great match. I think it would have been better suited for what they were trying to accomplish with showcasing the Jarrett name in a singles match. Cause that 8-man tag was all over the place. I don't understand why you bring out the Gun Club afterwards when you're still going to do individual promos for the Acclaimed and the Gun Club later in the show. AEW is usually good at kind of doing the most with the time they have. I thought the Mark Briscoe's great. So happy for him that he's officially signed to AEW, and you know, all love to him and everything that he's going to have in the future with his career. But that's a Rampage match. Like I would have rather seen Swerve and Dustin on this show, because I think they did a good job of building it on Rampage. As always, it's not like the worst thing in the world, but like obviously the bar for Dynamite's way higher than a lot of other weekly shows. So like it just didn't hit where I wanted it to. And then just the placement of a few things. Why do the Hangman beat up if he's just going to come out like nothing's wrong later? I don't know. It was weird. But Jackie, I want to start with you. What did you think of Dynamite? Just top level thoughts. And then we'll get into the matches individually.
Yeah. I mean, overall, like you said, there are some certain expectations that we have of Dynamite because Dynamite always delivers at like this very high level. And especially with the opening match, we always have this expectation that Dynamite is going to come right out the gate with this banger of a match. And that opening match for me just fell very flat. I don't think it was the catastrophe that people are painting it out to be. There were a lot of comments across social media that it was a train wreck and that it spells the demise of AEW. And there, you know, there's a lot of dramatic feedback in regards to it. Do I think it was that level of, you know, chaotic? Absolutely not. But in terms of, you know, the ebbs and flows of like the highs and lows, this was definitely a lower week. And I think that I'm hoping come next week, especially heading into the pay-per-view, that we start to see AEW come back and bring the hype, especially leading into some of the storylines and the matches that we're going to see going into Revolution.
And the good thing is AEW doesn't repeat themselves in the sense of if they do something that the fans don't like, they're very good at bouncing back very quickly. So that's true. Now, I don't have a Twitter, so I don't see all the stupid shit that people are saying, but it's not a train wreck. It was a weird show. I don't think the crowd was able to get into it because they started so weird on a kind of a cluster match that's hard to get into emotionally. And it was another Texas crowd, so it was weird that they didn't get super into it. But let's not get crazy and start jumping off cliffs because we didn't like one show. But what did you think, Kimmy?
So I think the main thing that a lot of people need to realize is that everything is hit or miss when it comes to wrestling. There's going to be good Dynamites and bad Dynamites. And if you do look at the ratings, the ratings have dropped. This is now the third week in a row. I'm not saying it's a catastrophe, but I think Tony Khan's aware, everybody. I think he sees it. He understands the problem. Don't worry. I think the thing with Jarrett, I think he had to be the opener just because the thing was, everyone didn't expect that 8-man tag to even take place. I didn't see it because I was in class, but people were like, oh, Jarrett's not going to wrestle. There's no way. But he decided that on his own. So I didn't mind, I guess. Like I said, I didn't see it. I don't know how bad it was, but like, I didn't mind him like being in that because they are trying to continue a storyline. Because I do believe that Jarrett and Lethal will be one of the teams in the Fatal 4-Way at Revolution. And I think the other thing I think the thing with Mark Briscoe also, like, the reason why the Dustin Swerve stuff is on Rampage is to boost that rating for Rampage, like we've talked about. That's what they're trying to do. And Mark Briscoe, since they announced he was All Elite, it made sense the match was on Dynamite and not Rampage. But overall, I didn't think it was horrible. I've seen worse shit that AEW's put out, so y'all need to relax. Fans, calm down. It's not the end of the world. We've seen worse.
What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I saw some pretty ridiculous outtakes, I guess you can say, about Dynamite this week. And I'm like, bro, what? But, you know, croutons are going to crouton. It is what it is. But it wasn't, you know, it didn't hit. It was an okay episode, I guess, of Dynamite. You know, there was some stuff that I liked, some stuff that fell flat. And it could have been the way they positioned some matches. But, you know, Kimmy said it too, that not every week you're going to hit, right? There's going to be some weeks where it doesn't hit. We've seen that in the past. But AEW's got that consistency of always coming back with a bounce back show the week after or a couple of weeks after. They always recover pretty well in a sense. So I imagine they will, especially with the next couple of weeks kind of building towards your last couple of weeks building towards a pay-per-view. They already have like 5 announced matches so far, and they're all really exciting matches. Every match they announced, I'm looking forward to. And you know, it was a weirdly structured Dynamite. It felt a little bit off, but you know, again, I still enjoyed it. I didn't, you know, felt like AEW was gonna be in the mud like some people did. They were just, I was reading, I'm going like, what? Like, I know wrestling Twitter is ridiculous. Like, I know it, you know, Phil quit Twitter, so you know it's that ridiculous. But like, my god, the stuff I was reading, I'm like, how do you sit there and tweet that and think you're not some sort of clown? Like, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. But regardless, you know what? It was, again, AEW had an okay episode this week. The opening was really, could have done a better job of that. I think they could have just done a one-on-one job match there to kind of honor Jeff Jarrett. It didn't need to be that cluster, whatever that was. I understand they're building towards a tag team thing now with a very interesting match at Revolution, which, you know what, Jackie? I kind of want to ask you about it. Do you think maybe your boys will be in that match at Revolution?
Yeah, I texted Phil and I said, if FTR doesn't somehow work their way into that casino tag team match to qualify, I might just like, what, I forget how I worded it, but I think of something along the lines of, I might just yeet myself into a hill of fire ants.
Cause they said it was casino. So does that mean there's going to be a Joker that tag team?
There's a Joker tag team. Yep. And I would like to think that that is where it's headed, but there's no telling. I don't want to get my hopes up because I don't want to be let down.
Yeah.
I found it. She said, all I know is that if FTR is not in the casino battle royal match, I will throw myself into a pile of fire ants.
I was close.
Ow. that's gonna hurt, Jackie. Where are you gonna find a pile of fire ants?
I could look.
You got that in the body oat? they got your piles of fire ants at every corner.
The body oat has a lot of stuff, Kyle.
Man, you're really shady. but no, a girl can dream. But like I said, I'm not gonna get my hopes up because I'm not trying to get let down either. But in a perfect idealistic world, never say never. Let's just say
that. Look at that. The phrase used all the time in wrestling. Never say never.
Never say never.
Gotta love it.
So I guess we could kind of use that in transition. You know, what are our thoughts? So obviously Jackie gave you her thoughts of FTR. Kimmy, what do you think is going to happen with the tag match leading into Revolution?
It's going to be FTR. it's going to be the Guns, the Acclaimed, and it's going to be Lethal and Jarrett. I'm sorry. Then what is going to happen is the Guns are going to win, and then FTR and the Guns are going to go into the spring slash summer type thing, and then Double or Nothing, FTR is going to retain their tag team championships.
Going to retain or win it back? When would they win it? Oh, okay, they'll win it back.
Double or Nothing.
Double or Nothing. Okay. Kyle, what do you think of everything tag-wise? Hey,
as long as they're not going to the Fed, that's okay with me. But Dax, did he do that on purpose? Did he do that on purpose?
Yes. Trolling.
Or he on Instagram, he didn't crop it. But so, Phil, for context, I don't know if you've seen it. He tweeted a picture of his alcohol bottle. But in the corner of the picture, there was like a white piece of paper with the WWE logo on it.
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
So he posted the same picture on Twitter, but he made sure to crop out that side of the paper out of the Twitter picture.
Mm-hmm.
So people are like, oh, he's hiding it. He's going to the WWE. Like,
it's a contract.
It's a contract. He's going back.
Is the picture still up on Instagram?
I think so. It wasn't in a story. It was an actual post.
It was a story. I could pull it up for you. I'll have to find it.
If it's not up, we'll send it to you. But you know what? This is a very interesting concept, the way they're doing with these tag team titles. So clearly, if the Guns were going to go on some sort of run, I don't think they would have done this big of a tag match at the first pay-per-view for the belt. So I think they're, you know, if they come out at the win at the pay-per-view, which, you know, it kind of goes to like what I predicted to the last couple weeks. I only thought it was going to be a singles tag team match with the Guns and the Acclaim with their rematch clause. But if they're going to do this four-way, that can still happen, and they could go still 2-0. The Guns can cheat to win again. I can kind of foresee them doing that again. They cheated to win the belts. They'll cheat again at the pay-per-view. And then maybe the match with FTR at Double or Nothing is like there's no rules or something like that, that way they can't cheat.
Since when does AEW do rematch clauses?
Am I
missing something?
I've never heard.
That caught me off guard. That was super weird.
I've never heard someone say, I'm my rematch clause. You know what I have? I don't think I've ever heard someone say that.
And I know they've kind of like quietly got rid of the rankings, but it's like a weird. Like, the Acclaim could have just won one of those things. Like,
holy crap. I totally forgot about the rankings.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they, like, quietly went away from it. Like, I get it.
They just took them in the back of the closet, like, we're not going to talk about this.
This never happened. You know, like the penguin from Madagascar. You didn't see anything.
My fear with this, I hope to God FTR is in that match. And I hope that, regardless of who, anybody, even if Jared and Lethal wins, shoot myself in the head.
Stop it.
Even if they win,
give me the gun after you're done.
My thing is,
Kyle,
after this Fatal 4-Way match, I don't want to see a triple threat. I don't want to see a Fatal 4-Way. I don't want to see Battle Royals. I want a tag team feud with two teams. I don't care who the two teams are. I want them to have a legitimate feud, because my fear with putting it on someone like the Guns is similar to what happened with Jurassic Express, which was every single story they told was they were just involved in some other team story. Yeah. They were in triple threat matches all over the place, which I think did a disservice to Jurassic Express, which I don't want to happen to whoever's champions, whether it's Jared Alito or the Guns or whoever. Give me a legitimate feud. Now, the Guns and FTR already have the history. So if you want to continue with that, like Kimmy said, do it at Double or Nothing. Awesome. But then I don't want the Acclaimed anywhere near the Guns. No. Like, give them something else to do, and they can always double back. AEW is good at doubling back. I want a legitimate tag team feud. There hasn't been, besides when the Acclaim won, it was different because they kind of stumbled their way into Swerve and Glory feud because of how great their match was at All Out. But after the Bucks lost to the Lucha Brothers, they had no real feuds. And then the Jurassic Express, like I said, had no real feuds. So I want to go back to where they were highlighting tag team wrestling. And if you're going to put the belts on FTR, I'm sure afterwards they'll get a real feud, but let's get a real feud building into it too.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, and we can transition into speaking of tag team feuds that we know one's about to come now for sure. After what we've seen this week, we had a backstage segment with the Elite.
Yeah.
and they're facing again Top Flight and AR Fox. Is that his name? AR Fox.
Yeah, AR Fox. Yeah,
tonight. Correct. But they pull your Bray Wyatt screen flash on us really quickly, and people, I saw people, I kid you not, Phil, thought that it was a mistake by AEW. Like, I'm like, are you joking? It's not a mistake. That was done on purpose. Give me a break, mistake. Like, but we get two.
I didn't even see it. I was like looking down, and then Jackie texted me.
Yeah, so two little quick flashes. It was run right after another of
a carrier robbed somebody.
Yeah, it was like the, it was red. It was like them in the ring, and then there was one where it was all black, and you saw Malakai. So it looks like, and then the Bucks, sure enough, the next day changed their bio. What was that glitch they put in their bio? Yeah. So
as a reminder to kind of get people to pay attention to it. I love that.
So either that's the Revolution match,
mm-hmm.
or the Elite's going to have some sort of a Revolution match, and they're going to return. They're going to
attack them after.
Setting up probably for Double or Nothing.
I'm okay with that. Kind of get a long build for those trio titles. Oh, God.
And in that long build, give us what me and Phil have been asking for months on this podcast.
Kenny Omega versus Mercedes.
Oh, my God.
Give us that match.
Yeah, fuck Buddy Murphy. Get Mercedes in here.
Give us Mercedes versus Buddy Murphy of Matthews versus Kenny. You want to do triple threat matches? There's a triple threat match I want in my life.
But yeah, give us Buddy Murphy.
How excited are you about this? I know you're like us, a huge House of Black fan. Are you excited that they're kind of now officially going in that direction?
I'm excited, but I'm a little bit nervous because, you know, we've talked about this where going into this feud, I don't want it to be them leading them to the slaughter, basically, where they're bringing them into this feud just to have House of Black go against the Elite to lose. Because you're thinking that the Elite get these trios titles, they're going to, theoretically, they're going to have them for a decent amount of time, you would think. Doesn't mean it's going to happen that way. But if they're going to go into this feud with the Elite, I don't want House of Black to immediately lose this feud. I want them to be the ones to take the titles off of the Elite at some point, because, you know, the whole issues with House of Black initially was, you know, bad booking, and, you know, I don't want them to fall back into those old patterns and potentially go on this losing streak again. I want them to look strong at least. So I'm excited about the potentials for the feud. I'm excited for them to go into it, but I don't want them to come out on the losing end immediately. So I just want to see how they're going to play this out to make them look good in the process.
Honestly, I'm so desperate as a House of Black fan. I don't even care if they lose. I just want them on every single Dynamite. For as long as this feud is going, right, whenever you're in a feud with the Elite, like 9 out of 10 times you're going to be on Dynamite. So I want to see House of Black no less than 9 out of 10 times. They don't have to be in the ring, they don't have to have a match. I want to see a promo, a video package, a backstage something. I need
spooky shit
every week. Spooky shit every week. I need some cool shit. We know that House of Black is excellent at it, and they have 4 members. So you could have people may, hey, this week is just Julia Hart talking about it. Next week's Malakai. You know, this week is Buddy and Brody. Like, you could do cool stuff with it. And shout out to Buddy Matthews for becoming a heavyweight champion in Australia, I believe, the company that is. So that's really cool for him there. So, yeah, I just want to see them every single week. But, Kimmy, are you excited about House of Black versus the Elite?
Well, this was the original plan, that the Elite was going to lose eventually to House of Black. The only reason it got delayed was because they got the title stripped because of everyone's favorite person on human earth right now, CM Punk. So it's obvious what's going to happen. You know, this is going to be the match of Revolution. Elite's going to drop the titles. Elite's then going to go back into the tag team division. You're going to see Kenny Omega then go into the singles competition. And don't be surprised if you get MJF versus Kenny Omega somewhere down the line.
That soon.
I'm just saying down the line. I'm not saying.
No. You know, I mean the trios match. You think it's going to happen that soon?
Yes.
There's only 2 Dynamites left until the pay-per-view.
They've done it before where we've only had minimal matches announced for pay-per-view. And they've... Listen, Revolution's going to be 6 hours regardless.
I'm gonna
what's the difference?
I'm gonna go ahead on a limb here and I'm gonna tell you guys right now that I actually haven't seen the results. So if you have, well then I'm wrong. That AR Fox and
Top Flight
are gonna get a title match at the pay-per-view.
Again?
Well, they're probably gonna win tonight. And that'll set up the title match. They'll earn that title match at the pay-per-view.
Maybe they'll do some like House of Black spooky shit, distracts the Elite.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is the first interaction between House of Black and the Elite where they're physically in the same ring together,
yeah.
I want to see some crazy satanic shit. I want to see them like fucking hold them up, arms open. Like, I want to see a fucking ass whooping. Like, I want to see them get their shit rocked and really establish. Exactly. Really establish brutality. You're going to get Rhea Ripley to come over here and whoop fucking Julia Hart's ass. But it's like, I want to see something that really reminds people like, hey, House of Black is no joke. And now Carrie's texting me, what a great idea. There's reports going around that Riho may be returning to TV soon.
Oh, there's your female.
They could have Julia Hart attacking Riho, which would then, you know, get on Kenny's nerves because of Kenny and Riho's history. So there's a lot of ways that they can do this and really truly extend it to get to Double or Nothing. Because I don't know, I do agree with you, Kyle. I think it's a little too soon for Revolution, for House of Black and the Elite. And I think that with the Iron Man match, something's got to get cut. Because we could joke all we wanted about it being 6 hours. I hope to God it isn't. So there's, and they could do an
attack. We already have five matches now. And you, like,
you know what I'm saying? So, like, they could do something where maybe they attack the Elite and they're not even on the pay-per-view. Or, like, they're supposed to have a match that leads to an attack and that frees up time. Mm-hmm. Kind of like what they teased tonight with the Hangman and Kip stuff. I don't know. I think the options are endless there.
I guess we'll see.
We'll see. But speaking of that, so we get earlier in the night, backstage segment where Hangman gets attacked and they're kind of teasing maybe he won't be cleared for the match later with Kip, which, of course, doesn't end up happening. And we get Hangman versus Kip. Kimmy, what did you think of Hangman versus Kip in this spot right here?
I'm happy that Kip's finally getting on TV. I think that, you know, they talked about a lot on Dynamite that Kip was in one of the first
Cowboy
matches.
Kip, thank you.
Cowboy Kip, my buddy, my friend, old pal, love him. But they talked about a lot that this was one of the first matches that was on the first ever Dynamite, or I think the second one, whatever one it was.
So Kip and Sammy were on the buy-in of the first show. So Kip won the first match, and then Hangman won the second match because he won that Battle Royal to start the initial Double or Nothing.
That's
what commentary was saying.
Got it. So I think it's a big deal that we're using Kip again now that he's healthy. So yay. But I'm excited for this Texas death match, you know? It should be good. I also don't understand why it's a Texas death match and this pay-per-view is not in Texas.
Oh, they announced it in Texas.
Yeah, but this match is taking place in California. So I'm a little confused here.
I think a Texas death match is like a old school match that they would just call a Texas death match.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it has like a historic thing.
I don't like it. Change it to California. You misleading.
California death match. This isn't a live event.
Yes.
That's what they do in live events. They name every WWE live event. It's whatever the city they're in. Street fight is the main event.
Listen.
we're here in the Rochester AEW, street fight for the main event.
If everyone else is going to shit on AEW and say the world is ending, then I could want one thing. And that's
Kyle, let's be honest. If there was ever a house show by Jackie's house, it would be the Barrio Brawl.
The Barrio Brawl.
Yo, you guys are so
And it'd be fucking up. Eddie Kingston versus Rey Fénix.
Adam says Jackie, in the chat, Texas Death Match is a last man standing, but with the older name. So, like, AEW is all about paying homage to the old stuff, right? Yeah. So
I'm sure Tony Khan saw that in, you know, with his dad in, like, 1984 in the ECW arena, and it was, like, Sabu versus fucking Sabu. Jack, and they stabbed each other for 45 minutes.
Was ECW a thing in 84?
No.
Tony Khan, it was.
It was an indie event.
Kyle, I get that you're not a real wrestling fan and you don't tape trade like me and my boy TK. Okay?
Yeah, no,
it was a tape that he got from Sheboygan Video in Chicago. Okay.
It's a great video.
It was one of one.
We
one
pass
of one,
it.
Man. We did. Right next to that like seafood place, yeah. And that like massage parlor.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But Jackie, what do you think of Hangman and Kip?
I thought the match was good, but I was more interested in the aftermath of it and the appearance of the Dark Order after Jon Moxley insinuated that Hangman has no friends, which they keep doing to him as if somehow people don't understand that there's a whole ass history between him and the Dark Order. But Evil Uno coming out and Evil Uno getting some cojones and freaking slapping. He slapped Jon Moxley in the face. He had no freaking fear. He mushed him. That's what it was. He freaking mushed him in the face. That's some freaking take some.
He slapped him nerve. So hard. I thought he was going to challenge him to a game of Halo. That's how hard he slapped him.
But I really do love that ongoing dynamic of Hangman being like, no, I want to go out there and I want to do this on my own. I don't need you guys to come out here and defend me. He always has that chip on his shoulder. And it's like, when is that? Like, when is he going to snap, essentially? He's still our anxious millennial cowboy deep at heart. But I'm interested to see how this match is going to play out at Revolution. I know people have, you know, had some critiques about this feud and the way that it's panned out and has it gotten a little bit stale. But to me, I'm still very much emotionally invested in the way this is going to pan out, especially because Hangman had his point in regards to, you know, the way that the last match ended. And he's like, I know you weren't satisfied with the way that it ended. So let's end it the way it should be. And it's going to be purely chaotic and violent, just the way we know that Jon Moxley's matches need to be. And we know that Hangman is purely capable of going toe to toe with Moxley. So Texas Deathmatch it is. And thank you, Adam, in the chat for clarifying exactly what a Texas Deathmatch is, because I would not have drawn that comparison or that conclusion. So, but yeah, let's freaking go.
Any final thoughts, Kyle?
I know like feuds like this aren't for everybody, but I'm all about feuds where two just badass guys just want to beat the living shit out of each other. And that's what the feud's based off. I'm all for that. Like, feed me that every effing day, and especially if Jon Moxley's involved. It's a perfect feud. These guys are involved in a perfect feud. They both feed off each other extremely well. They're carrying this feud that could be for a title, but it's a non-title feud, right? These are two guys that have been AEW World Champion. So you got two former world champions going at it in a I want to beat the fuck out of you feud, and I want to make sure I get the upper hand before we end this feud type of feud. So I'm all for that. I'm excited every single week to see what they come up with. They're going to be in a Texas death match. Again, kind of last man standing rules, but you know Moxley's going to turn it into a death match in general. He's going to use everything underneath that ring possible. There's probably going to be thumbtacks. There's going to be everything in this. And, you know, when has Moxley not bled? Can someone tell me the week that Moxley has not bled? I feel like this dude bleeds every single week, and his forehead is going to look like Dusty Rhodes' forehead any day now. Like, my God.
He bleeds on the way to the ring.
Moxley and Hangman are going to have a dusty off. Who could bleed more?
Yeah.
This is what it's going to be.
This should have been, speaking of blood. There should have been a first blood match, but it would have been really quick.
But speaking of blood, another thing that I had an issue with last night, and it's solely a American problem when it comes to how AEW is shown on television. But you get us hype, you see the entrances, and they start brawling, right, in the BCC versus the Los match, right? And you're getting hype, you're getting excited, pitcher in pitcher. And then obviously, like, you know, as Jackie has said in the past, and I'm very similar to the way she is, ADD. I cannot focus on the little screen in the corner when we get all these crazy commercials. I'm looking down on my phone, I'm whatever, and that's a me problem. I can admit that. But you look up, Moxley's bleeding. It's just chaos. You're like, what the hell is happening? The match was still okay, but I just feel like the crowd being out of it after the first match and kind of the pitcher and pitchers that were getting thrown in and not really knowing what was happening. And even though I think they did a great job of showcasing Roosh, they've done a terrible job of building on 10 turning heel. They have completely almost abandoned it because he's – I know they do stuff on Rampage and stuff, but I don't think it's enough where it gets you like excited to see Ten wrestle in this new heel role. But that's just my personal thoughts. What'd you think of this whole segment, Kimmy?
So the thing with picture in picture, that's not AEW, that's production in general. But I thought that this was good. I think they are like pushing Roosh. And the thing is, like, this could exactly be Andrade if he wasn't a bitch. Like, if Andrade wasn't a complaining bitch, this could be his spot. But no, he had to be a complaining bitch. So now we're stuck with Roosh. But I'm not
stuck with Roosh. I love Roosh.
He's been... I think we're more stuck with Ten with Preston than we are stuck with Roosh.
But Roosh is great. 10 out of 10 for Roosh. But I do see, like, when they do split, like, the Ring of Honor AEW type thing, I think Roosh and 10 are going to go to Ring of Honor. I don't think they're going to be on AEW TV much longer. So stay tuned for that.
As long as they push that, the La Faction thing, you know what I mean? Like, why have a faction if you're not going to do anything with the faction?
Like, but put the, like, you know, we talk like, about AEW like
make
having
me, make me care. Roster,
but, like, stop putting people who are in storylines that involve them rising against stables and wrestlers that are involved in, like, I need to look strong. Roosh should and Preston should not be in a match with the BCC knowing they're going to lose. Similar to that, Kip Sabian should not be in a match with Hangman knowing that Kip is going to lose. I'm tired of seeing Kip lose already. Like, they he aesthetically, everything that Kip, Penelope, Bunny, and the Butcher and the Blade got going on, I'm loving every bit of that. I think they need a stable name to really kind of bring it in. But, like, I'm tired of seeing, like, certain people lose. I want to see the Preston storyline with the Dark Order. I'm very interested in that, right? They did a great job when they turned him with the whole negative one thing. Let's do that, right?
Right.
And, like Kimmy said, if the roster is going to be so bloated, like, maybe some of these storylines transition slowly into Ring of Honor and they stay there so they have their own time to breathe.
Yeah. I mean, like, that would be a really cool feud if they did that. Like, if they took the time and really built, like, a Dark Order versus, you know, LFI, I'm going to call them because I can't say that word properly. So that would be a really cool feud if you wanted, and they added someone to that faction that would make sense, and they wanted to really, because that's the story there. You know, Ten left the Dark Order and joined sides with that, but, you know, we don't see that. We see Dark Order involved in the Hangman thing. Right. Mm-hmm. Still that. Yeah. It's cool that he's, you know, they're still showing he's friends with Hangman, but they don't really need to be there. That feud is fine on its own with just Hangman and Moxley. Yep. Like, the Dark Order doesn't need to be there. So hopefully if that faction LFI is going to go to Ring of Honor, make me care about it. Like, make me think, well, wow, that's that faction. Not, oh, it's just that. And they have a name. They're in a faction together. No, it's oh, that's that faction. You know what I mean? Like, we say that thing for the Elite. We say those things for BCC. Like, you know, you care about the factions. There's some factions in AEW where it's like, okay, well, I wouldn't care if they weren't a faction anymore. You know what I mean?
Like, and whatever the Hardy business shit that, like, it was like Andrade and Matt Hardy, like, it was a mess. Like, the Firm, even though I will give them credit every time they get TV time. It's excellent. Stokely Hathaway had an excellent promo tonight, right? Like, I think they're so entertaining, but, like, if they didn't exist, would anybody care? Like, it.
Yeah, that too. They do a little bit of a poor job advertising that you're in a faction. You know what I mean? Like, it's not heavily advertised, whether it's wearing t-shirts together or all the same, or like Morrissey had a match. I don't remember if it was on TV or.
Well, the Gun Club, the Guns won the tag titles, and there's no reference to the Firm.
So, like,
oh my God, you're right. Yeah, I forgot.
I was thinking about it the other night. Like, they were in the Firm. So, like, wouldn't Stokely be like, "Hey, good job." You know, like, we need to be more like the Guns. They were the first ones in this group to win the belts.
Yeah, like there seems to be. It's like, yeah, cool. We can have factions, but all you're doing is putting a name, and you're not actually making me care about the faction. They need to do a better job on that.
But what'd you think of the match as itself, Kyle?
It's good. I love Roosh. Roosh has been a gold star since, I guess, Andrade decided to take his ball and go home. So, again, it's great to see that it's thriving with that, and I'm loving it. It's just, again, every time I see Roosh and his faction on TV, I'm always drawn back to that. Like, I want to care about this faction, but they're not doing anything for me to care that they're called LFI. to me, it's just Roosh is just there with his assistant and Ten's there for some reason.
Yeah.
Like, give me even a reason to care.
Like, aesthetically, I love Preston in the suit, and I think he looks great and all that stuff. So, like, that's cool. But, Jackie, any final thoughts on the match?
I think that the match itself, like, even though it was the second match in and it had to do a little legwork to get back into the groove, especially after the first match was a little bit lackluster, I thought that the match was good overall. And yeah, I think that they played well with the history, I'll say, with the history of, I keep wanting to call him Ten, with Preston and Moxley and the blood feud there, because Preston essentially wanted to get his revenge on Moxley because he's like, I haven't forgotten what you did to me. And, you know, you made me bleed and you, like, you know, they did what you did with the arm injury, like, way back when. So I'm going to get my revenge on you. So there was that long term storytelling there. And
I forgot about that.
Yeah, me. So they went back and they did reference that. So I'm like, I appreciated that storytelling aspect of it, and make him bleed. He did. There was the chains, the tables, the chairs and stuff like that. But it wasn't until like midway through the match that they even mentioned and reminded us that it was a tornado tag match. And I was like, oh, shit, there was a stipulation in this match. My bad. But yeah, overall, I thought the match was it was decent. It was decent for what it was, but yeah, Roosh, I think, is killing it in terms of coming across like a freaking monster. And every time he gets in the ring, he just looks like he's out there to kill somebody. And, I love that for him. I think that that's a great spot for him. And I hope that they keep building him as that kind of like no nonsense, killing machine.
So we are short on time. So I want to talk about one more match. And of course, that is the main event. We get the women's triple threat match. Toni Storm versus Ruby Soho versus Britt Baker. Now, Kimmy, Britt Baker is your girl. She's in another main event. Now, tell me your thoughts on it. And where do you think this is going to be going forward for the women?
As she should. You know, she has the most main events because she is a pillar, a ratings draw. That is DMD, Britt Baker.
She's two DMDs, so she's a double dentist.
Yes, double. I made it up. So, obviously, Ruby's going to go to the heel side. I think she's just playing everybody and just trying to be nice with Britt. I think it makes more sense if she's on the heel side. The spot that they did with the spray paint was the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. It
fell really flat.
That was so stupid. I am not a fan of the spray paint. I think it's so dumb. You're trying to be NWO, but you can't be NWO, okay? So don't do it. Drop it. It's dumb. Or the Bellas. It's a mix of the Bellas and NWO. Like, if those two, like, spray paint the L thing had a baby, this is what this is. And it's not hitting, so stop doing it. I think that we're going to get the Blood and Guts after Double or Nothing, so in June. So I don't think it's going to happen where it happened last year in Detroit. But I think it speaks volumes that this main evented over, like, the Hangman Adam Page thing. It speaks volumes of how invested that they are in advancing this Blood and Guts storyline. And the fact that we were supposed to get this match a month ago and it finally happened now that Britt's cleared. So we all win. But I think the biggest thing is Ruby needed this very badly, because we've talked about this show on the show a lot about how Ruby just keeps on losing. And she finally got that big one and she pinned Britt. And there's not too many people on the AEW women's roster that said that they could pin Britt, but Ruby can.
Jackie, what did you think?
I just think that this main event, and I'm going to kind of echo Kimmy's sentiments here, it really does speak to the star power of Britt Baker, because when she comes out there, she is getting the pops like nobody else does. Like, nobody's getting a reaction like Britt Baker does, short of like Jamie Hayter. Obviously, when she comes to the ring, the crowd is reacting very strongly for her. But I don't think anybody is over to the level that Britt Baker is over. Like, despite her lack of TV time compared to the other women that were involved in this match, she is the star of the show no matter what she does. But Ruby getting the win and now furthering the story of her, kind of drawing the line in the sand and which side is she going to choose, even though we kind of have the inclination of how this is going to go, it just keeps piquing the interest. I'm not sure how I felt about the actual match itself. I think that we have seen a lot better in terms of the women's main event spot, in terms of the caliber of match. But I'm just happy to see the women get the main event spot and be given the opportunity, because it's not often that it happens. But and we did get to see the match get run back, because obviously it was derailed by Britt's injury with her. I think it was, she had a nose injury or something like that the last time that they tried to do this match. But overall, I'm never going to complain about the women getting the main event spot. I'm just very intrigued to see when we're finally going to get this theoretical women's blood and guts match.
Kyle, what do you think?
Yeah, it's I was happy to get this, because there's a massive storyline going on in the women's division with this. Especially you saw after the match, like Ruby is clear. That's what the title of our episode. Ruby is torn right now between which side. Like she's on both sides of the fence here, and basically she's just trying to like, can't we all be friends kind of thing right now, when we know she's going to be picking the one side soon. But for now, for the time being, until that turn, which I can foresee maybe something happening at the pay per view. Where Ruby turns to make it mean more, right? If this is a mainly focused storyline to give them a main event a couple of weeks before the pay-per-view, I kind of feel like the pay-per-view is going to be the spot where something major, the next major thing in this feud happens to escalate it towards Blood and Guts. Maybe they even announce at the pay-per-view that Blood and Guts is coming up on so-and-so date coming up to get people excited for. I think that would be a smart idea. But this was a decent match. And like Jackie said, we've seen better women main event matches, but it is what it is. I thought it was still a good place for them, and they told the story again. The spray paint's not really hitting right now, so maybe they go back to the drawing board with that. But also, talking about this match, it was mentioned on commentary, they named the team of Toni Storm and Saraya the Freelancers.
Mm.
So that's interesting. So I'm not
very, really, very interesting.
Yeah, the Freelancers. So that'll be interesting to see who gets added in terms of both sides. How big are they going to do? Are they going to do 5-on-5? Are they going to do 4-on-4? So time will tell, but we all know that it's leading towards a woman's blood and guts. And from what I gather from Twitter and the engagement with this, people are very, very excited for this feud. And you know, we've been waiting for a really major storyline for you that included a lot more than just two people in the women's division. This is including a lot of major people in division as well. So I can't wait. And to quickly touch base, I know like we're short on time. I did think the MJF promo was really cool in the ring with Christopher Daniels. A lot of people were hinting that he was saying best in the world a lot, but I wouldn't put too much stock into that. Wardlow had a cool sit-down interview with JR.
Oh, yeah, Wardlow's segment was tremendous.
So
my favorite segment of
They basically told... Basically, they explained why Samoa Joe snipped his hair. Because when they were tag teaming their War Joe, he told them all about himself, and he went into personal detail when he was younger about his dad and when he went through and had cancer and lost all his hair. That's where Wardlow to pay tribute to him after he passed, that he was going to grow all out of his hair. So Samoa Joe digging into the deep roots of Wardlow's past, cutting off his hair. So that was cool. They explained that. And it's also going to be exciting to see what Adam Cole, what they're going to do with him. He had a sit-down interview again. I believe they're still probably waiting to make sure he's fully 100% clear before he goes right into a big major feud. It's going to be interesting to see who he picks, because he says there's a lot of people on the roster that he wants to go at. And
we all know it's going to be Jeff Jarrett. Let's just get there already.
Please stop.
But I'm excited for this Adam Cole, though. I kind of believe that the time he's had off, he's kind of had time to recuperate from a lot of other injuries, too. And I think we're going to get a 100% Adam Cole back in the ring. And a 100% Adam Cole back in the ring is what everyone wants to see and are going to get excited about, because we saw that 100% Adam Cole back in his days in NXT. And there's a lot of people on the roster that he hasn't faced yet that I can't wait to, and I want him to have a feud with. So we'll see.
My last thoughts on this is the day Adam Cole wins the AEW World Heavyweight Championship, I am mailing cinnamon buns to Jackie.
cinnamon roll
for her cinnamon roll. But that's all we have for this week's show. A little bit shorter because we do have Rampage starting any minute now as we speak, and we don't want to cut in that time. And we know that, you know, we have that. You have SmackDown tonight. There's a lot of great wrestling on tonight. For everybody, NBA All-Star Weekend, for those who celebrate like me. So thank you guys for watching an episode of Elite POV. And remember, you don't need a hat to be a cowboy. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye. Bye.
There's a voice that keeps on calling me. Down the road, that's where I'll always be. Every stop I make a new friend. Can't stay for long, just turn around and I'm gone again. Maybe tomorrow I'll wanna settle down. Until tomorrow I'll just keep moving on.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good. Everyone on the floor as well. Really a lot of hustle. I liked it.